Hey, Vink.
Hey, long time no see.
Right on, yeah. I was just curious if you were excited to come to the States at all.
I am.
I bring it up for a few reasons. One, I know you want to get a Wii U.
I do. I want to pick up the Wii U. But please don't think that that's my only reason for visiting America. There's also... Family, yes. Family.
Well, you know, it's a successor to the family computer, so that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I'm also really excited. I'm going to go see The House on the Rock. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And we don't mean like The Rock. Dwayne Johnson is like holding up a house by himself. Although that I go see that too.
I would go see that. No, The House on the Rock. I don't know. Like everyone who's listening from like the Midwest is like, they're like nodding their head around, like, yeah, you're going to America. You should see that. And everyone else is like, what?
Yeah. Well, that. You see, there's a rock, and someone built a house on it, but not just any house. This eccentric guy, who just it was like this picnic spot back in the day. And he's like, well, I'm going to build a house here. And he bought the land around it, and he built the most insane house.
Actually, I think he actually didn't, like, buy the land around it. I think he started building and then, like, kind of worked out the land rights later on.
Oh, that sounds reasonable. Plausible.
And then the house itself is, like, worth seeing it. But, like, yeah. Then he, like, built basically, like, this city of buildings around it.
Yeah.
You could call it a museum, but like nothing's actually like labeled. It's more like just a collection of junk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a residence at one time, and now it's a museum kind of thing.
Kinda. Yeah. It's. Did you ever read the book American Gods?
No.
You should read that. You should read that. One of the scenes actually takes place in the House of Rock.
Oh, nice.
It's a good book to read. Anyway, I hear they're making a TV series out of it.
What?
Really, wow. Yeah, and I'm really hoping that they do some of the filming in the House on the Rock, but right. I don't know. That okay. Place is kind of claustrophobic. I don't know how you get a film crew in there.
Yeah, it's not wheelchair accessible, really. At least not the main house.
It's not like people accessible, really. I mean, yeah. You have to climb over stuff. Oh, man. We should link like a YouTube video or something.
Yes.
Of what this place looks like. It's really kind of beyond belief. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Wii U. I'm gonna hit some supper clubs.
Supper clubs.
We're really going Wisconsin here.
I don't think I know what a supper club is.
You don't know what a supper club is?
Maybe I do. I've never called it that before.
Well, I mean, there are specific things called supper clubs. I don't know. Maybe it's kind of a Northwoods type, like upper Wisconsin.
That could be.
Oh wow. I've even lost someone from Wisconsin. Because, yeah, I was telling my friends here. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to visit some supper clubs. And they're like, the what now?
Yep. Yeah, no idea.
All right. Okay. Let's send a link to a supper club documentary. We're gonna like, totally Wisconsinify this podcast. Okay.
We have to have, like WPR, like, spokespeople and just, like, have them on and be like, today we're going to talk all about baking. I don't know. Anyway, no. Games like the Wii U, for instance, which just had this first of two systems updates this year, which brings faster loading times, supposedly, Wii U Virtual Console, and a bunch of other features I wasn't actually expecting.
Hooray! Stuff that should have been available when it launched.
True. Yeah, like background installations and downloading, you know, stuff that Xbox had since... I don't know, some version of Live.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm glad that Nintendo is making progress, but the pessimist in me is like, seriously, guys, it took you that long? I mean,
yeah, it does remind me of the 3DS launch a lot.
Like, surprise. Like Iwata's like, oh man. It's like he had no idea. Like Iwata was one day going, It seems that fans are upset that it takes 30 seconds to bring back the home screen. I had no idea. I figured they'd want to take that time to appreciate the Wii U's controller and lack of third-party titles.
I have no idea what it could possibly be doing in the background that would make it take so long. Like literally no idea. But they've improved it, I guess.
I know, but like... they have improved, and that's very good. But they released a product that was not ready for prime time, both in software lineup. And, I mean, I know they were trying to jump the gun and get and be the first system out, but gosh, what can they even do at this point? I mean, I just relaunched the whole thing.
Oh yeah, like, we have a whole episode about that.
Well, I mean, did you hear from the investors meeting?
Well, I know they reorganized, and like Awad is like president of NOA now or something.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, a lot of people thought he was going to get fired.
Well, I mean, when he said that he wanted to step down if they didn't improve profits, I think he meant for the following fiscal year.
I guess, but wow, then again, the 3DS came back from but the 3DS situation was never quite as bad as the Wii U.
Really? Because I feel like it's kind of comparable.
No, well, I mean, I suppose if you're counting the drop from the DS to the 3DS, I guess it's kind of comparable there. I mean, the numbers are worse for Wii U, but then again, right, the numbers for Wii were never as high as the DS, so I guess you could call it comparable.
But well, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is like the PS Vita, which, you know, even we wrote off as pretty much dead, had a resurgence after a price cut, and that's all it took. It didn't even take increased library or software or features or anything like that. It was just a price cut.
Well, it didn't stick, though.
It didn't, but for a while it was looking kind of hairy for Nintendo anyway.
So basically the system was selling about 10,000 units a week at its full price. Then in Japan, they dropped the price by, what, $50?
Something like that.
And now it's selling about 15,000 units a week. But when you actually take the cost of manufacturing the system, Sony is selling more units, but they're actually making less money now.
Right, but but they get more units out there, which means more software sales, hopefully.
But there
which
isn't
means...
more software.
Oh, uh-oh.
It's the thing. Like, they dropped the price, and it's less embarrassingly bad numbers right now. But, I mean, the future for the Vita is still kind of yucky. But it is doing better than the Nintendo Wii U, so...
Still? Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Quite a bit better, actually.
Well, I just remember a friend of the show, Zach Shipley, mentioned... Okay. You know, how he felt like the Xbox 360 didn't really hit its stride until like fall 2007, which is when I sort of put my Wii down and picked up things like Mass Effect and Rock Band and the new Katamari game. I think there's a new Halo game that fall too. So yeah, like just this avalanche of stuff like a year after the system had come out.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not ready to write off the Wii U yet, especially because I'm finding it way more useful, because I had my 360 from early 2006 onward. I'm finding my Wii U way more useful to me than my 360 was at the same time in its life cycle.
Well, I mean, as I said, I'm still going to buy one because there's a lot of games I'd like to play on it, but I don't know, it's not going to have the same success as the Wii, and it doesn't need to. You know, I don't really care if the soccer moms are all on board, because that did nothing for third-party software anyway. So,
true. I was listening, actually, my huge backlog of Twit, and so it was from right around the election and right around the Wii U launch, and they're talking like, you know, 22 million units of Wii Fit sold and 20 million units of Wii Fit Plus, and I'm just like, wow, that is a lot. You know, and it's Nintendo first party, so it hardly counts, but, I mean, that's like a $90 investment. If you want to get it with the balance board, 20 million, I can't even. Yeah, that's why Nintendo has a lot of money right now.
Well, yeah, they've been blowing through it. They've had two losses in a row, this year and last.
Yeah, but like, you know, very small compared to their actual like current financial holdings.
Well, I suppose, but for Nintendo, that was an incredibly frugal company who never had a lost quarter, including the GameCube. Oh. That's the thing. How did you feel about the GameCube?
I felt great about the GameCube.
Well, then you'll feel great about the Wii U. You know, like, it looks like it's probably going to do GameCube-type numbers right now.
Oh, well.
But, I mean, if you still, like, as a gamer, it shouldn't matter. If you had money invested in Nintendo, you should be worried.
Right.
The thing is, it could, if it stays on its current trajectory, it's going to be the GameCube or maybe a little bit lower. But who knows? This is Nintendo. They might find the new big thing.
Well, they're still a more profitable or at least a more valuable company than Sony right now, and they have the 3DS, which is bolstering. You know, you can't just judge the success of Nintendo as a company on the Wii U.
Well, it's bolstering the success of the company in Japan, but it's not setting the charts on fire anywhere else. It's definitely doing better than the Vita worldwide, but it's not doing as well as the DS.
Right.
So, I mean, it's helping the company, but like, one of Nintendo's biggest enemies is Nintendo, because they made so much money in the previous generation, there's really not any place to go but down.
True. Well, true-ish.
For investors, that's a problem.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, you've got there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's probably why you haven't been here for the last couple of weeks. You've been playing the Rayman's demo, right?
I know that challenge app came out. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet.
Now, I don't know how to feel about this. I want to be mad at Ubisoft. I really want to be mad that they're like, well, we're not going to release your game, but here's a new demo. Like, I really want to be like, you know, don't slap me in the face and call it a kiss or
God, right.
Not a phrase.
it depends on what you're into.
Played it, but I've watched videos of it, and it looks really good. Like, really good. Like Ubi might have, like, done the right thing here.
Yeah, it's not a small download either, so...
Oh, it's almost a gig. But they're updating it with, like... Okay, they've added a whole bunch of these challenge stages, plus the stages from the original demo, and every day they're updating with, like, challenges and things.
Every day? Wow.
Every day. Yeah, every day they've got a new challenge, and there's worldwide leaderboards and stuff like that. And so people are coming back to it every single day. It's the best advertising for this game possible. See how it works out. Because actually, the demo is so full featured, a lot of people might not actually need to buy the game.
Yeah, we'll see, right? Because, this is a free download.
It's a free download, and it has unlimited play.
Yeah, unlike the demo. Well, it's only as cool as it is, I can only play the Castle Rock stage so many times.
Well, that's the thing, though. The other stages with these challenges, they have a different challenge, every day. And so it gets people to keep coming back. Now, will it work for Ubisoft? I don't know. But it's a brilliant idea. And really, this is if I were Nintendo, I'd be taking notes on this right now. For when the new Mario Kart comes out or, you know, something right. else, you know. To have this kind of free content which gets you, like, hooked on a game experience.
That's, yeah. Or, in other words, a demo. I guess.
Well, yeah. I guess, but like, more so, like, even when a game is out, say Mario Kart, that you continue uploading with all these challenges or specific goals every single day. Because you know what that does? That curbs used game sales. Well, it doesn't curb used game sales. Actually, it might promote them, but it makes less people trade it in.
Okay.
Keep playing the game longer, and you know a lot of other people will buy it new because you know.
Right. Well. All right. So. Well. That does remind me of something. Speaking of used games and rumors flying around, Microsoft finally announced that they will be revealing the next Xbox on May 21st.
Woo!
So before we get to that, I wanted to run through real quick the Wii U updates because I feel like we should do that justice because I'm forgetting right. something important. Standby function to download and install software while the system is powered off, which includes turning the light orange, I guess, on the console when it's doing that. That's kind of interesting. Software purchased from the eShop will automatically install in the background once download's complete. I've seen that happen firsthand. I'm really used to like having to kind of just sit there and watch the download happen and then have to like push the install button when it's over. So that's the thing of the past now. Actually, it depends. There's a setting that when you do the update. Oh, funny story about that. My son, who's like 14 months old now, like grabbed the gamepad and turned it on Saturday morning without anyone noticing. And like the next thing I noticed, it was like waiting to install the update, the software update for the gamepad. And I was like, oh, this is gamepad software update too. So yeah, I don't know how he did it, but he got the download started.
Wow.
So simple, even a baby can do it.
There you go.
So holding the B button while the Wii U logo is displayed during startup will load the Wii menu. So I guess that's like the regular Wii menu. Nice little shortcut there if you just want to go right to your Wii games. They added support for two USB devices so you can copy between them. Because previously you could only use one USB device at a time, which I found out trying to kind of document the feature. And, you can still only play from one device at a time, but at least you can plug this in and do the copying. And then they added the support to actually have two plugged in. The TV size adjustment's a big deal because people who were using the component cables would have problems with the edges of the screen being cropped.
I heard about that.
So that's there were actually some individual screen size features in some of the Wii U software that were taken out so that it would just go into the system, general system setting. So that's pretty cool. The big thing is the Miiverse. Not only is it the added support for like Wii Remote and Pro Controller and Classic Controller and stuff, and some other things, undo and redo options, but they also release it for the general use in the internet. So you can go to a website now and you can't make new posts, but you can reply using your Nintendo ID login and actually download like your screenshots and handwritten drawings and stuff that you've made on the system. So that's pretty cool.
That is. And now that they are on the web, because I don't have a Wii U still, I've been able to see some of those drawings. I'm floored. That's amazing.
Right?
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, that by itself, I think, they've mentioned this all along, of course. They just weren't ready, as you so accurately put it, but I think that's really a good advertisement for the power of the system and this social network that right now you can only really be involved in if you have a Wii U, because you can't even make your own ID unless it's tied to the console right now.
Yeah, that's true, but it is nice. Although really, I don't know. I mean, for viewing it, no problem, but I really don't see why. I mean, maybe when it hits smartphones and stuff, but, there's something, it's meant to be viewed on the Wii. I mean, it's meant to
absolutely
create content on the pad. I think when it hits smartphones and you can kind of use touch features, or like if you've got like a Galaxy Note, that'll basically be about the same size and has a pen. But I still think that Miiverse is like the thing you is doing right.
I love it so much. For the first month or so, I was on the system every day, basically just to visit the Miiverse, and that stopped happening after a while. Partly because it's like I wanted to do it, away from home, because I'm an adult and I work every day. But it's because I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. And I would like to be on Miiverse too, but I couldn't do that until this last week here.
So, but I mean, other than that, Nintendo, welcome to 2008.
Oh, come on.
A lot of those features are 2007.
So as bad as this stuff sounds, I'm wondering if the next Xbox is going to be worse off.
Worse.
Yes, worse.
Well, of course it is, because the next Xbox will not have Earthbound.
Right, that was announced too, that Earthbound, the proper US SNES release of Earthbound is coming to Virtual Console finally. I have no idea if that means they've changed the music around or actually got the licenses, but it's coming.
Or they just lied in the first place about why they couldn't release it.
Which is entirely possible.
But okay, here's the thing. I was so excited about Earthbound. I was like, oh, wow, yeah, wow, Earthbound, wonderful. And then I'm like, really? That's the best thing that happened from this Nintendo Direct. The best thing that happened from this Nintendo Direct is that they're porting, 15, 17-year-old game to virtual. They are uploading a ROM to a server.
Man. Okay, I think the second best thing is the, well, at least the first best thing for me is the Link to the Past sequel, which will get me to buy a 3DS.
I guess I was just going into Wii U stuff. But yeah, Link to the Past sequel. Although, I mean, I don't know if I like the pseudo 3D-ish art style so much, but it looks really fun. I think that wall mechanic looks amazing.
Yeah. I have to find a copy of this, but someone posted a comic, I think to Facebook or something, of Link as in painting on the wall, and then Mario comes up with his water gun thing from Mario Sunshine and starts cleaning him up. And Zelda's like, no. Oh dear. Yeah. Anyway, we're doing a really bad job talking about the Xbox, aren't we?
Let's bring it in. Let's bring it in.
Oh, okay. Goodness.
So do we want to, I mean, we talked about these rumors in a previous podcast, but you want to update everyone on this?
Okay. So, there's still a lot of rumors at this point. Nobody knows what's really happening. But stuff started flying around about the system being DRM, like heavily DRM'd and online only, which was backed up by, I forget the gentleman's name. I think he was he fired subsequently from this after this whole blowback? Am I thinking of someone else?
He was working for Microsoft Studios. I can't remember his name either, but he left the company.
Oh, he actually left. Okay.
He left, but, well, you know how it is, though. You quit. You can't quit. I resign, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're fired. You can't fire me. I quit. That was it. And that might be how it went. Gosh, what was his name? I don't remember. But he really made fun of people from Janesville, Wisconsin, so I'm glad he's gone.
Oh, that was funny. Adam Orth.
That's it. But basically, he was saying, you know, he was saying, like, you know, this is the future, to have this system which is always online. And they went, well, that's fine if you live in New York, but what if you live in, like, Janesville, Wisconsin? Or he listed another place. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And he just basically wrote, like, why would I ever want to do that?
Right. I think what he was trying to do was to kind of downplay the entire idea, because no one knows what always online means yet. But there's been lots of speculation. And then one of the conspiracy theories, especially from NeoGAF, is that they were just sort of testing their marketing through social media first to see what the blowback would be, to think of an official response to what is actually going to happen. But nobody knows what's actually happening yet.
Well, that's the thing. Basically, by his commenting on it and being so high up in the food chain at Microsoft, it was basically, well, at least to the people who were believers, it was confirmation that this was happening.
No.
Although, when I reread those posts, it looks more like it was on speculation. Like, if this did happen, I would be okay with it.
Right. Yeah, it's like we're getting a bit out of shape for nothing. So, you know, in order to address those concerns, we thought up a few scenarios of what might happen from, like, kind of best to worst case. What Microsoft would face each step of the way.
Okay. Let's should we go through those? Do you want to just read them all out first, or
sure? There's three main scenarios. So Xbox requires DRM server on load up, which is more or less similar to how it is now. We can get into that. The next scenario is the same as scenario one, but Microsoft also requires you to install the disk to your hard drive to play it, which was one of the rumors kicking around. Which some might think is how they're going to manage the no use game policy, and then which would come to fruition in the third scenario where either scenario one or two is true, but you have to be always online to be connected, kind of like the SimCity fiasco.
Okay.
And
all right, let's start with the first one, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one, Xbox requires DRM server on load up. I think this one's fairly likely.
Well, this is already happening if you have any kind of Xbox Live Arcade content.
Really?
Yes.
It's checking that?
Yes.
I thought it was more like the Steam system where like it checks it, you know, it checks, you have to be online on like install, but then once it's on your system, you could play it offline.
No,
really?
Really? This is how I know this. Because I downloaded some games to my USB drive. Actually, it was to the hard drive, and then I moved it over to my USB, so I have some stuff I can bring from place to place. Normally, it's not a problem. But I went to No Brand Con's video game room like 2 years ago, and okay. I really wanted to play the Scott Pilgrim game with people. So I plugged it in. There's no internet there. You know, it's just like all like network linked, like local LAN type stuff for any of the systems that are hooked up. And it could not authorize me to play that game from the USB drive because it couldn't authenticate that that I was logged into live. So I should probably put a caveat on this. If the game is registered to a different console or a different Xbox Live username that's not paired to that console, then you have to always authenticate against the live server to play the game. If it's your console, you're fine.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, if it was already installed to like your, you know, to your hard drive, I think it would have played even if you didn't have any internet connection.
So I made this mistake once, right? Like, not realizing how this whole DRM scheme worked. I was at a friend's house. I downloaded some Mass Effect DLC or something, and onto my USB drive and took it home with me. You know, again, not really a problem because I'm always connected to the internet. But then I ended up upgrading it was Halo DLC, and ended up upgrading to the new slim Xbox. And when I did the reauthorization, it like actually listed all my stuff, everything I bought through Live, and it had like a console ID, which was my old console ID, and then like a second console, which was my friend's console, I had downloaded the DLC from, and I was able to reauthorize all of it, you know, to the new console. But you can only do that once a year, I think.
Yeah.
Which is fine for me, and probably for most people, but that's like one step above Nintendo will let you do for any of their systems. Well, I guess you can port a 3DS from system to system, but the consoles, there's no chance that portability is happening in the foreseeable future.
Yeah. Let's just slightly off topic, but with all the new changes, are you thinking of moving your data over to your Wii U now? You're still going to keep it on the Wii?
Oh, ha ha ha.
Is there any reason to keep it on the Wii?
No, the other thing that happened was that Nintendo announced they are shutting down most of the data services for the Wii in June. So if you thought that, I'm gonna play like Mario Kart online with friends forever and ever, well, it's like the Xbox Live shutdown for the original Xbox. Those data services are going away. So even if you had that stuff ported over to your Wii, you would not be able to play online with your friends. Not that you'd have friends anymore, because the whole friend code thing is going away too with that. So not that any of the people I know who own Wiis turned them on anymore to accept my friend request with my new Wii, my new friend code, but it's going to be a moot point in a couple of months.
So you're gonna finally migrate.
I'm thinking about it. I was actually originally going to do a video about this. I'm going to have to change what I'm going to say, but there's still some drawbacks right now. Although the virtual console announcement and the discount and this together are kind of railroading people into going the Wii U route, which I expected was going to happen eventually. But yeah, that's Nintendo's way of letting you upgrade from your previous console to the new one. You can play all your virtual console titles in your Wii saves. It's not going to matter if you're playing the original Wii or not. No more online, no more friends. So it makes a little more sense now that they didn't create those features for the Wii U when they're going to turn them off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your video on that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to finally finishing it.
Okay, so Xbox requires DRM server on load up. Yeah. I guess most people would be okay with this, because even if you're on dial-up, if it's just to authenticate, it's not so bad.
Right.
Because, I mean, anybody who uses Steam, you know, for one thing, just to download stuff, you have to have, you know.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many people are really going to buy an Xbox who don't have any internet at all.
Right.
Because it really, if you're going to get a, you know, get a Wii or something, or get, you know, something else. I mean.
Yeah. Oh man, the Wii Mini makes more sense now too, because all those data services are turned off.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
How come no one saw that coming? Yeah. Anyway.
I saw that coming.
So maybe it's not as bad as this. Maybe it's just like how the current services work, where you just need, if you download something, you just need it for authentication of, this is your user ID, this is your console. And now that we have this in the same place, you don't even need to authenticate. You can play offline as long as you need to, but that doesn't really mesh with the always on thing. So it could just be kind speculation, I guess.
Okay.
All
right. Next one.
Sure.
Scenario 2. So, same as scenario 1.
Yep.
Xbox required DRM on load up, but what's the difference?
You have to install your disk. So I don't know where this one came from, because they are using a Blu-ray disk drive now. I'm not sure how much of this is rumor and how much of this is speculation and whatever else. But because those Blu-ray drives are so slow and they require so much load time, if anyone's played a PS3 or, you know, has a Blu-ray player, they know this pain. But, like, you know, not just having the option to install like you do now with the 360, but requiring it, which means tons and tons of hard drive space, because there's no chance I could fit my entire library or 360 games on my hard drive right now, even if it's 250 gigs or whatever it is. There's just no chance. That's, like, for Blu-ray games, it's, like, four or five games or something. Well, no, I guess it's more like 10 if there are single-layer discs. But
depends on the game.
It depends on the game. Yeah, and then there's DLC on top of that. So the requiring thing is kind of weird, but let's just go with that. You need the DRM always on. You need to require it.
I think this one is possibly somewhat likely.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
It does explain, like, the rumors about the used console games being difficult, because if the installation is tied to some kind of authentication, like you need some kind of installation key.
Yeah.
Then this is kind of the gateway for playing a new game. So the discs become kind of worthless if you can't play them from the drive and you can't install them because you don't have an installation key. Then the physical media becomes just kind of like a conveyance mechanism, and is, you can just throw it away after you're done, because it won't matter.
Basically, what it looks like is if they do the disc thing like that, it basically makes the Xbox more like a PC. You know what I mean?
Right, which it is now. It's like, well, we don't know that for sure, actually.
You have to install games on your PC. I mean, when was the last time you bought a PC game on a disc? Okay, wait, maybe I should stop there. When's the last time you bought a PC game on a disc? But when's the last time you bought a PC game on the disc and the game could run off the disc?
Right.
Like I remember back in the 90s when they had CD games, you'd install a small file, but, you know, most of the content was still streaming off the disc, you know, for the cutscenes and stuff like that. But modern games, you install the whole thing.
Yeah, and this is kind of the reasons that I like consoles, is because, you know, my game media is separate from, like, a catastrophic hard drive failure, which can and does, you know, happen with PCs, and I guess I haven't used a console long enough to experience that particular pain.
Yeah.
But at least with the authorizations, you know, Microsoft's been pretty good through Live, like I said, about reauthorization. But you know, like, your game save data, unless it's stored on like Microsoft's cloud storage, which isn't nearly as extensive as you can do on your hard drive or on a USB device, it's like, I'm really just leery of any idea that would force me to do that, and then have these disks that just take up space and don't do anything, except for, like, in the event of catastrophic hard drive failure, I can reinstall my game media. But more likely than not, well, if you can't sell them because they're not worth anything, then you just throw them. Like what happens? Like, this changes the entire way that the console physical media realm works. And I don't know if that's what they're doing, but if they do go this way, it doesn't make any sense to me. Unless you have this disc, you try and install it, you don't have an authentication key or whatever, and the Microsoft's like, oh, well, you don't have a key? Well, for $5 or $10, we'll sell you one.
you know, that might be something. That's something the publishers had mentioned. They want a cut of the used game sales. And by selling authentication codes, you know, you could buy the game at a discount at GameStop, but the publisher still makes some money. And I'm not okay with this. I was going to say I'm a little more okay with this than other things, but no, I'm not okay with this. We can't apply standards that no other type of media uses.
Right.
Like, I know that one of the reasons they can apply it is since it is a very high tech medium, they have the ability to apply it. Like, you couldn't apply it to a book. You know, you couldn't apply it.
Well,
what?
I mean,
e-book, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, like I have a Kindle. You know, I have apps for all my non Kindle devices to read Kindle stuff, and it's really convenient.
Yeah.
But I can't. Well, I guess Kindle does allow you to lend books out, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's something like that. Yeah.
But you can't lend games to people right now unless they add that into the system somehow.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old, and that is a distinct possibility. But one of the best experiences of my early childhood life was not having a lot of money to buy games, but being able to borrow games from my friends, and being able to loan them the games that I was playing too, and to talk through. And I think it would be sad if that era was over.
Yeah, it's like on one hand, having the disc and having to play it from the disc means that you, unless you copy the disc itself, which is somewhat of a barrier, is sort of copy protection enough. But if it requires you to do an installation, then it sort of forces them to set up this scheme whereby other people who had the disc can't install it, and you lose out on that ability to go to a friend's house and play a game they don't actually own.
Yep.
And that bothers me. But I'm thinking about, like, you know, the secondhand industry and just like GameStop, right? Like, they would scream bloody murder if this happened because they'd be cut out. And the only way I can see around this is if for some reason like they were able to still sell a used disc, so still worth something. But then, like, you know, GameStop makes a deal with Microsoft. Or the publishers directly to like sell the used keys, and they get a cut of that too. You know, so it's like there's the cost of the actual used game, and there's a cost to them to pay the publishers for selling the used game, which is like a few bucks, not a huge deal, but it decreases their profit margin while not putting them out of business. And that's the only thing I can think of that would possibly make that work.
So, but eBay will be illegal.
No, you can still sell the disc, but you know, you still have to buy the authentication key through Microsoft or something.
Through Microsoft, okay.
Right.
But you know, that's the thing, though. Like, you were just mentioning about the Xbox, the original Xbox servers being shut down, about the Wii servers being shut down. So you'll never own a game again.
That's kind of where this is going, right? Like even under this scenario where if you were able to install it once and you didn't have to be online after that, what happens if the hard drive fails at some point in the future and, you know, we're on Xbox 1080 or whatever they're going to call the next one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like your SOL. Because if you have this system under which you have to install a disk and authenticate against their servers, then at some point in the future, it's like, oh, sorry. On the other hand, because architecture is probably going to stay PC and not change from system to system after this, maybe you can install it on your next Xbox and then.
Well, look at the way Sony's going, though. You know,
right?
Any DLC and like any PSN exclude, you know, PSN games, the PSN network games, you know. They don't transfer over. Period.
Well, that's because of an architecture issue. That's not.
Yeah, it's because of an architecture issue. But how do we know that the next Xbox isn't going to have an architecture issue? You know, how do we know that the next Nintendo system isn't going to have an architecture issue?
If the next Xbox, like the PS4, is going to go to PC architecture, I don't see them going back to a custom architecture after that.
I suppose. But what's to say that, like, they have all the control. Even if it is possible... is there any reason for them to do it? For example, for the Sony PlayStation 3, it's very possible for them to include the ability to play PlayStation 1 games out of the box. It's very simple emulation at this point.
Right.
But they're not going to do it.
Right. Well,
they don't have to do it.
As we mentioned like two episodes ago, I think we talked about the PS4 thing. You know, they want to sell streaming services.
Exactly.
So there's no reason for them to spend all that time into doing that and letting you play your old games through emulation.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just keep your old console, which is what I do because I'm crazy. But
when I lived in America, I had a closet just for old game consoles. But now, I don't know. Then again, I've been rebuying a lot of the old ones. I finally got a Super Nintendo again.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's been a while. Man, that's a big deal. But here's the thing. I have a Super Donkey Kong... Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah.
It's called Super Donkey Kong here.
So wait, did you get a Super Nintendo or a Super Famicom?
Super Famicom.
All right, okay.
Well, there's still Super Famicom waiting for me in Wisconsin somewhere. I'll nice. Try to find it.
Okay.
But anyway. So I was playing Donkey Kong Country, and I'm like, wow, I'm playing Donkey Kong Country. This is great. This game still works. But if I was on a Wii, I can't play Donkey Kong Country. And probably never again.
What?
Donkey Kong Country. It has been removed from the Wii Virtual Console. Licensing stuff.
Okay, well, all right. Well, there's a couple things about that. If you ever bought it once, ever, it's still available for you.
Yeah.
It may or may not show up in the Wii U Virtual Console.
It won't transfer.
You're
to Wii U.
Sure? No, it transfers.
No, we can't know yet because the Wii U Virtual Console isn't quite there yet.
Right. Yeah, it just came out. There's only a handful of titles in NES and Super Nintendo, and yeah.
For a game to transfer over to be playable on the Wii U, like to be playable on the gamepad, blah, 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 it has to have been released on the Wii U console, too. I mean, you can still play it in Wii mode, sure.
Right.
But, like, the new mode of the console, you know, you can't. But, right. But the thing is, unless you had bought it at that time, yeah, you can re-download it, until Nintendo decides you can't anymore. You know, but... If I wanted to buy it now, I'd need to get a Super Nintendo copy because there's no other way to get it now. Well, legally.
Right.
That's the thing. I do not like the publisher being able to determine when I can play something I bought.
Right.
Okay, which brings to scenario three, the worst one, the totalitarian regime, the North Korea of console scenarios.
Yeah, either one or two or possibly both, and you have to be always on, like Assassin's Creed 2, SimCity, Diablo 3, where if you lose your internet connection on a single player game or something like that, then it ends your session. And that's the one people are afraid of.
When we run the microwave in my house, it drops the signal a little bit. So like if I'm watching Hulu or something and someone puts the microwave on, which makes me a little nervous about how powerful that microwave is.
Right.
But anyway,
is it supposed to be shielded? That's kind of weird.
But anyway, we lose connection for a couple seconds. That would mean me being kicked off a game.
Okay.
Or you know, just sometimes the network just goes down a little bit, you know?
Yep.
Or not just our network, but look at the SimCity launch. Their network went down, so nobody could play it.
Your servers go down, the network goes down, they turn off the servers at some point in the future, and that's kind of the problem for all these scenarios, right? If at any point they just want to stop supporting it, your entire library is junk, especially in the case of the always-on DRM.
Okay.
You can never play that game again, ever.
So I'm going, I want to play, I don't know, I want to play some Xbox going in. I want to play just a kind of a single player, you know, offline game, you know, just to relax. Maybe an RPG or something. But because this week the new Call of Duty game was released and the servers are entirely flooded, I have to wait hours to get on to authenticate my offline experience.
Right.
don't like it. No, no, no. Like, if this rumor pans out to be true, this is a console I will be skipping completely.
And we'll see what Microsoft has to say about any of these things, because they haven't denied anything yet, which doesn't mean anything. It just probably means they're waiting until they can make official announcements. But it looks suspicious, especially because people are really, really worried. And, especially with the SimCity thing being so raw in everyone's minds, it's like, companies just are not prepared for this kind of onslaught to their service. It's nice for them in theory because of the control and the amount of money they're going to get from it. But then when they're sick of it, they can just turn it off. And then that's going to have a really huge chilling effect on the industry, I think. I mean,
I'm very, very worried that when you buy a game, you better... What the publishers are hoping is that you don't buy games other than pretty much at launch, because it's going to continue. Because after launch, it's going to continue to lose value, because there's a limited amount of time the server is going to be on. You know,
right.
So it makes the most sense to buy a game at launch and play it as much as you can, because it's a limited experience. Great, right. Wonderful, good job, publishers. Good business there. But for gamers. And especially, and I know it's a small demographic, but collectors are boned.
Oh, yeah. Well, who cares about collectors, though? Because they make, they buy all their games in the secondhand market anyway, right?
I know. A real collector buys their game at launch and keeps it shrink-wrapped.
Right. They never play it. Which is probably what they're hoping for, right? Like if you never play your collected games, you don't have to be online to worry about this stuff.
I feel so bad because I bugged you for forever to get it, and you finally did get it. But I haven't played Xenoblade yet.
What?
Because now it's worth so much money.
You haven't even opened it.
I haven't opened it because they go on eBay for like $200, unopened.
Oh my god!
It's an investment, and I want to play it. I really want to play it, but man, is it going to go even higher?
If you sell it, I want to cut.
but that's the thing. Like, the thing is, it doesn't. And that's another thing. Even with physical copies of games, when Xenoblade Chronicles, and this will reduce the cost of my, that should be available for download on Wii's console.
Yeah.
Oh man, I keep jumping back and forth on DRM. Like, I love it, but I hate it. Like, it seems to be working for companies like Apple.
Right. Well, like a company like Apple, this is what they do, right? Like, this is their thing.
Yeah.
They're all in with iTunes. Like, yeah. they've changed an industry with iTunes. They're not going to give that up easily. And there's iPods and iPhones and stuff, but like more or less everything's compatible from one generation to the next, where, you have a game publisher, or a game company. There are a few dominant players every once in a while, but they keep shifting around. Game publishers go out of business all the time. Like THQ got sold off piecemeal and in some cases didn't sell at all. So what happens when, Activision goes out of business or something and, you can't think of a single Activision game off the top of my head. All right, EA goes out of business. It's like, how do you play Mass Effect 4 now? Well, you can't, because no one wants the IP.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, if a company for iPhone, what's nice is, at least for now, iOS doesn't require authentication for anything, right. If, like, for example, if I have apps on my phone and I go on an airplane with no Wi-Fi, all my things are going to work. It's not going to sync my achievements, but, for offline experience, I've got that, and I've got that permanently. But I maybe I'm naive, but I think 20 years from now, most of my apps will still work. But
could be.
For a console, I can't even trust it from generation to generation.
Yeah. You know, something kind of funny about this, I was realizing as we were talking, was with these consoles potentially jumping to the PC architecture and the Wii U still being custom, the reason that the Wii U's compatibility works far back as it does is that the architecture of the consoles essentially hasn't changed from the GameCube.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it is in a way just a souped-up GameCube right now. In other ways, not.
You could say that. You could say that.
But it does explain, like, you know, why the Wii stuff gets run in a certain, like, emulation mode. Not emulation, but sandboxed as a, you know, with the Wii's features, as opposed to being brought into the full Wii U experience.
I don't know. A lot of it is, like, I think Nintendo's going to be smarting once the new Xbox is released, revealed, and the PlayStation 3. I mean, they're already losing momentum, and they're the first out, but, like, once all these multi-platform things get announced without Nintendo, I don't know, they need to really soup up their first-party efforts, because third-party is basically done for them.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting sick of the cycle where it's like, oh, we're going to court third parties and they're going to love us and it's going to be like the console to go to for the games, and then it doesn't happen. Like Ubisoft pulls their exclusives or delays them, and sure, we got a lot of nice ports of games, but we don't get new stuff necessarily. Although, you know, we know Watch Dogs is coming to Wii U. Like, you know, there are new games coming to the Wii U that are on the other consoles, but we don't know a lot of games that are coming to PS4.
Not a lot.
You know, they're going to be on the Wii U yet, because the PS4 doesn't exist yet. You know, the next Xbox doesn't exist yet. So we'll know in 2014 how well it stacks up. But, you know, as for Microsoft specifically, if any one of these scenarios bears out, maybe in the short term it's better for Microsoft, but just wait until the next console comes out. Because in every one of these scenarios, you know, someday the DRM servers are turned off and your library is worthless. Like, just it's going to happen, and that's the big fear. It's like, it seems okay right now, but if you care about your game library 10 years from now, it's just going to be gone one day.
But the thing is, it'll be too late then. If that becomes the standard, it's you're never going to get them to go back.
But like, you know, Nintendo hasn't done that yet.
No.
Sony hasn't done it yet. If Microsoft does this, if they go down this road to any degree here, it's not going to be over for them this year, but it'll be over for them in, you know, 2023.
I guess, but, you know, when you think about it, though, and I hate to say this, but your standard, like, you know, dude bro video gamer who just gets the Madden and the Call of Duty every year isn't going to care at all.
They're not going to care now because they're not going to know enough to ask the questions, but they're going to care when they turn on their console and they can't play their games anymore.
But they won't. They're just going to buy the newest console and they're going to buy the newest games. And they don't look back. That's the thing. We're nostalgia gamers, you and I.
Right.
But like, you felt bad when Halo 2 servers were shut down. Most people who play Halo didn't even notice.
Okay. So here's a place where they would care then, I think.
Okay.
If there is no secondary market or a vastly reduced secondary market, I'm positive it's going to irreparably harm the first-hand market, possibly crash it.
There might be. Yeah, there could be a market crash. But the thing is, since everything's online now and since there's so many alternatives, I don't think a video game crash would be as disastrous as it was in 1984. You know what I mean?
See, you know, I keep hearing about how, like, the whole iOS revolution is going to just change gaming forever. I'm still waiting. You know, they're still selling physical discs. People are still paying for them. It's still one of the biggest, most profitable industries in the world. I'm not convinced.
But that very industry is trying to adopt the iPod method, you know?
Yeah, but it's
a hugely successful industry, but have you noticed? Major publishers are going down like nuts. It's a domino effect. You know, so, we're losing all kinds of publishers. They're getting bought out and shut down.
Right. Yeah. Well, it costs so much to make games. I'm not sure what the allure is to having, realistic old man physics in the PS4 if it means that we're going to only have two publishers releasing games.
I think it's a real big problem, because, you know, the amount of, you know, a game used to sell for $60, you know, on a cartridge, and it was being made by a team of like 20 people, you know, and that was, you know, and now a game's selling for, I don't know, 60, you know, about the same price, you know, but it's being made with a team of like 300 people, like Hollywood budgets. But
right.
That is just not a sustainable model.
Right, which is, and I don't have the time or the money to pay for lots of games like that, which is why I'm sticking to, you know, mostly digital titles, but they're like $15 at the most, which, that, you know, yeah. It's something smart that Nintendo did to sort of, you know, help get them into the iPhone market, more or less.
Yeah.
But
Apple supporting Unity is Nintendo supporting Unity with the Wii U is a big thing, because there's thousands and thousands and thousands of games that are made with Unity that could be ported over fairly easily. But then we're going against my point. Then it's a totally DRM, you know.
Well, yeah, but they're a bit better about it at least right now, and I'm not as concerned about that stuff. Okay, this is kind of a contradiction, right? I do realize that, but I don't know how I'd like to stand on there. I'm not sure what to say about that. It feels like because they're cheaper, I have less of an investment, and it doesn't matter to me as much. Not that I don't like the games as much, but you know, I pay $60 for a game. I want to get $60 of enjoyment out of it. The thing I'm worried about is that I realize I'm weird. I'm not like other people who like buy a game more or less to rent it, and then recoup their costs. So if someone's buying a new game at effectively like, you know, $20 or something, because they're able to resell it pretty fast, and then buy the next new game again for effectively $20, it's a pretty good system for them. And if they have to, you know, if they have to buy only $60 games going forward, and the used copy is worthless for resale, I don't think people are going to buy more games. I think people are going to buy less games because they still have the same budget they always had. And it's just going to crash the market entirely, because it's like, well, why aren't we selling a million copies of Modern Warfare 25? It's because no one can get rid of 24 through 19 or something. You know, it's just, they flooded the market with games that are useless to people, that they're played out literally, and nothing can happen anymore.
A lot of the thing is, for gamers, this is terrible, but for the mainstream people, they only buy a couple games during the cycle of their console. They buy their Madden, they buy their Assassin's Creed, they buy their Call of Duty, and they don't really buy much else.
Who's going to buy Madden year after year if they can't sell the old one? That's why those things are worthless when...
They're already worthless. you trade in an old Madden, you get like 70 cents, you know?
Right. No,
seriously. I mean, it's like if your Madden is 2 years old, that really is what you get for it, like 70 cents. So, I mean, it's already happening. But that's the thing. I mean, I hate to say it, but from a business perspective, what Microsoft is thinking of doing is probably good business sense.
I don't know. I mean,
now you're losing all of your people who are on like a dial up. But really, people who are on a dial-up are not buying as many games as people who are on a broadband connection. I mean, maybe they're on a slow connection just because of, you know, the location that they're in, and maybe they do buy a lot of games. But for the majority, like, Microsoft doesn't want them as customers, because they're not going to be the people buying tons of DLC packs. They're not going to be the kind of one that their directed advertisements showing up on Xbox Live are going to. Losing a few customers like that is, you know, to get... Basically, they're just going for the whales. You're familiar with that term, right?
Oh, yeah. There was a community episode about that recently, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I hope that gets renewed. Probably won't. everything I like, it goes away. Oh! Oh my gosh. I need to play Xenoblade.
Yeah.
Because the new Doctor Who companion, Clara? Carla?
Clara.
Sorry, I just She does one of the main voices for Xenoblade.
No.
Yeah. Her only video game voiceover work.
Oh my god. Yeah. So we talk about Doctor Who, it's actually relevant for a change.
I know. Isn't that amazing? I'm getting caught up on Doctor Who now. I didn't really watch anything. The last one I watched was, I started to watch Power of Three, the one with the little black cubes.
Oh.
I guess I was getting kind of bored with it.
That
I
was
don't
last
know.
Season, yeah.
And that's this season, but this is like a season that's extended over like 2 years.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah, because they did 5 episodes in 2012, and they're doing the remaining 8 this year.
Yep.
And
I saw the next episode was an Angels episode, and I'm like, ah, I'm so done with that. But actually, it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was also the Pond's last episode, right?
Yeah. It was interesting how they went about it. So the Doctor is married to River. Did I kind of miss that? It was kind of like an implied thing, but then in that episode it became like, you know what, I'm going to stop talking about this. Some people might not be caught up to the season. Why don't we actually edit that bit out? Let's edit
okay.
that bit.
Okay.
That's a major spoiler. Okay.
Do you know if David Warner's done any video game voices?
David Warner?
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Okay, so he's actually in an episode of Doctor Who you haven't seen yet. But he's a pretty famous-ish English actor, pretty indispensable in the sci-fi realm. In fact, after his appearance on Doctor Who, Kotaku did, or was it IO9, did a write-up on all the movies he's been in. So like he was the bad guy in Tron. I can't think of like the actual digital guy's name. Well, anyway, I don't know if you ever saw Time After Time starring Malcolm McDowell. And
yeah,
I don't know. He played Jack the Ripper. He played Chancellor Gorkon in Star Trek VI. One of the diplomats in Star Trek V that got kidnapped by Cybok, as well as Next Generation, that one Romulan interrogator. You know, there are 4 lights. That guy. So he's like a Star Trek and Doctor Who crossover guy. And so I was like, oh, I nerded out. I think of someone else. But yeah, so David Warner, all around cool guy.
Let's get him on the show.
All right, let's do it. I'm sure he'll do it.
Of course.
His schedule's free.
I mean, Nintendo
right?
listens to our show.
Nintendo, definitely. All right, so here's what I think. If Microsoft does go into this in any degree that we've mentioned, I think the market's going to bear out if that was a good idea or not, because they're going to have the PS4 and the Wii U, which don't do any of that. And if people are really upset about the way that's going to go, then it's going to bite them sooner or later, I think.
Well, I think the country that it might work out for Microsoft is it might work well in America. And it might work well in England and maybe a few other places, but in general, you're cutting off any like non-broadband country. But again, Microsoft, if they can catch the whales instead, if they can really, really, you know, maximize the amount of money they can pull from each individual user, they might not need to have the main market share in order to be a profitable company. And the thing is, Microsoft will obviously lose Japan with this because most people
lose Japan. They've never gotten Japan.
I was just going to go there. But the thing is, I mean, because Japan is a very internet country, definitely.
Right, right.
But a lot of them are doing internet through cell phones, mobile devices, pocket Wi-Fi, which goes to a 3G network. Because in general, most of Japan has a network connection. I'd say probably more so than in America even. But a lot of them are not connecting to it through like a LAN cable, you know?
Right.
And possibly not the type of connection that Microsoft would need to do their gaming thing. But then again, it's Microsoft in Japan.
Yeah. I do think it's funny, too, that we're talking about Microsoft catching whales, which is, you know, Japan's one of the few countries that still allows actual hunting of whales. And so they have that kind of in common. It's like no one wants them to do it, but that's all they're going to do because that's just their economic strategy.
Wow. I like that. I like that. But is Microsoft going to also say that it's just scientific research?
Sure, because they have other non-gaming segments that this always-on research could benefit, right? Sure. Why not?
So I was eating at the school cafeteria.
Yes.
At one of my schools, and I'm eating something. And one of the teachers comes up to me. Oh, it tastes pretty good. One of the teachers comes up to me and says, oh, you ate that. And I'm like, yeah, this is my lunch. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, should I not pee? And he's like, that was whale you ate. And I went, you have whale in your school lunch? And he's like, yes, I'm deeply sorry. You know, like, I don't know. He's like, did you watch The Cove? I'm like, you know, he's like apologizing for his country. He's like, I know you're American. I'm sorry. We were going to get you something else, like a hamburger or something. And I'm like, I don't know. That sounds even more racist. I don't know. Like, but he's like, I know Americans, you will not eat whale. And I'm like, well, I guess I did already. And I guess if it was already cooked and on my plate, by throwing it away would be kind of disrespectful to the whale. But I don't know. How should I feel about that? You're an American. How should I feel about
that?
Well,
it depends on whether or not you ate the whale with a side of a bowl of petunias. I'm sorry.
Ah, Hitchhiker's reference. Wow, it took me a second. Sorry. Sorry, yes. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. Because, like, whaling, that's a pretty bad thing, right? But, like, culturally, that's maybe not so. I don't know.
It's like, you know, like, I'm personal, not like a big hunter, but I'm not, like, anti-hunting. So, like, I go to these hunting parties because my wife's from, you know, the south edge of the North Woods. And, yeah. You know, we'll just go up there and they'll have, like, moose balls and whatever else, like, you know, stuff I would never have otherwise, you know, venison and everything else, and I'll eat it. So I don't know. I think it depends on how smart whales really are, I guess.
Yeah. And how delicious.
Like if they weren't made of such delicious meat, we wouldn't eat them.
No, I know. But the thing is, in one way I like to support science. And from what the Japanese government's been telling me is that the whales are killed for scientific purposes. Although the only experiment I think that I can really see is like, we are testing to see if whales are delicious. It's okay.
Oh, dear.
They are. Anyway. can I do an apology?
Sure.
And this came up in our Facebook things. I had used the...
Oh, so it's not for the whales then.
No, it's not for the whales. Although I do apologize for the whales, too.
Yes.
But I had referred to the, what was it, the lowest pack that you could buy for a console. I think this was on our PlayStation 4.
Yeah. One.
And I referred to it as being a gimped console and also as the tarred pack. And both of those things are incredibly offensive, and I really would like to apologize for that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, well, I should have known for like the you know, equating something to like mental retardation. You know, that was, I don't know, I guess I've just been on NeoGAF too long. Because, I mean, that's just what they refer to it as, you know.
Apologies to NeoGAF.
Well, I know, but like, no, I mean, I don't know. My mom's a special education teacher. I mean, I really should have known better.
Right. Right?
That one's totally wrong. But to tell you the truth, I had no idea that the word "gimp" was as pejorative as it is.
Right. Yeah, you don't really hear that said very often. I don't think
you do though. Like I've heard it like on television shows and stuff, and I figured like if it was really bad, it wouldn't be on there. But like, you know, you do some research, then you realize that like. It's one of those things that's not offensive unless it applies to you, and then it is, and that's like, okay, You know the company Gaijin Games?
Yeah.
And there's also Gaijin Works?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really have a problem with them as company names. They're fine, but the other day my daughter was playing at her preschool and some of the other kids were like calling her Gaijin.
Oh.
And in a definitely racist context.
Right.
The other kids, they don't know how bad it is, but she was really upset, you know?
Right.
So all of a sudden I'm like, well, I didn't have a problem with that word previously until it's used, in a negative context.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense. It's like people hear the word gimped. I don't think they even realize where it comes from anymore because it's not actually something that's said to someone deliberately very often. Listen, in my I'll just stop talking.
Well, I know what you're saying. But the thing is, like, what I would like to do is I would like to apologize to anyone who was offended by that. And it was not our intent to do anything like that. I guess when I was looking this up, here's another thing that I never made the connection for. When you get ripped off by someone, I don't know, maybe this is where I'm from, but we'd say, oh no, I got gypped. But that relates to gypsies. I didn't even know that.
Really?
Yeah, to gypsies. Like a gypsy would like rip you off. I had absolutely no idea. Because I think that I've seen it spelled, it's been like with a J. But no, that is pejorative as well. So like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I really had no idea. So I'm worried we'll stumble into one of these landmines in the future as well. So this is an apology for now and an apology for any future things. We like to keep this podcast relatively safe for families and work. So
unless you really like whales.
Oh man. Yeah, as I was talking about whales, I'm like, I'm probably going to have to issue a whale-related apology in the future, so I should get these apologies out of the way first.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, so... Yeah.
And to we owners? To we you owners?
No apologies.
What?
No apologies there.
Well, hey, I'll be joining you guys soon. And for me, it's... Third-party titles are never what I've bought a Nintendo console for anyway, so I'm fine.
Right.
I'm going to buy my console and, I'm going to miss Pikmin by a couple of days.
Oh, well...
It's going to be released, as I'm boarding a plane.
If you really need a copy, I can probably get you one, but you'll have to return Xenoblade to me.
What? I can use Xenogears. I can do that.
Oh, jeez.
Xenogears is worth a lot now, too, these days. But I don't know. Is that really what I'm looking forward to for my trip to America the most is picking up a Wii U? Because I could do that online and save a lot of money.
Oh,
what game should I get, Sean? What's going to be out? What's going to be out by the time I'm there? That I need. What are the must own titles? Nothing. I want to buy like 3 or 4 games.
Nothing I can think of. Just buy it all from the eShop. It'll still work, right?
Oh, like, yeah. But
it won't detect.
We just spent this entire time talking about how DRM is bad and we should retain physical copies. And by the end of the podcast, you're telling me to buy it all on the eShop.
I know. I admit it was a contradiction.
I think I'm really interested to hear from our listeners right now. I want to know, for is this a deal breaker for you? Like, if the console goes entirely, that the physical disc is either not needed or, has no resale value, things like that, how much does this actually affect you? Because I know a lot of people don't sell games at all anyway.
Right.
I'm really, really interested to hear what our listeners have to say about this.
Yeah, and you can tell us right here on the podcast if you go into the show notes and leave a comment. We're at famicomdojo.tv. Also cross-posted to PowitsTV. But also, we have our Twitter account, Famicom Dojo, Facebook, Famicom Dojo, which has been getting a little exciting again lately. So that's not too shabby. But you can also call us if you want to leave a voicemail. It's about 3 minutes, I think, 608-492-1923. We may play your comments on the air, which maybe is scaring people away at this point, but we've done a pretty good job, I think, so far of playing that stuff.
You can record an MP3 of your message for us, and you can send it to us at what address?
I believe it's a podcast at famicondojo.tv.
And if you'd like to make a flash video of you making your comment, that you'd like us to put on our YouTube channel, please send that to podcast@famicondojo.tv.
Oh dear.
Made a game starring one of us, and you'd like for us to review it, please send the source to podcast@famicondojo.tv.
Did you know that Zach Braff has a new movie coming out? Or he's kickstarting a new movie. He's already met the goal in like the first day. Yeah. Like the Veronica Mars movie, essentially.
I'm so excited about the Veronica Mars movie. I just have to see if Veronica and Logan get back together. I'm not even kidding right now.
Wow. Wow. You know, I was going to joke and say it was my movie coming up, but I didn't want to get anyone's hopes up. And be like, oh, yeah. I mean Zach Braff.
What type of movie is he doing? Garden State 2?
More or less. I mean, he said it.
Garden
State. He said it was like a spiritual successor to Garden State because it's like the first movie is like about being in his 20s, and now this one's about being in his 30s.
Why does he need to kickstart a movie like that? Isn't he like a major actor with like money?
You need to watch the video. You know, I actually make a really good point. What did he do with all that money he made from 8 seasons of Scrubs? 7 if you don't include the bad one.
Wow. Maybe he financed the 8th season, and that's why he lost all his money.
Ouch. Yeah.
But like, if someone like us was doing a kickstart, I mean, that would be a valid
right thing to do. And we wouldn't ask for anywhere near $2 million.
And he asked for $2 million?
Yeah, and he got it. The Veronica Mars is also $2 million.
Did he just blow the Veronica Mars record out the window?
No, the Veronica Mars made like 4.5, I want to say. It's
like,
still...
They were like the first project... They were like the quickest project to reach $2 million or something. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't think... it was about as fast.
Well, I'll watch Braff State, too.
Braff State.
Which is what I would call the movie.
I have some videos of the rivalry between me and Zach Braff on my YouTube channel, so maybe I'll link those to the show notes.
It's a loving one-way rivalry.
Yeah. Kind of like the...
You know, Sean has a little bit of fun with Zach Braff, and Zach Braff doesn't know.
Yep. Pretty much. Anywho. Yep. So... Yeah, we'll find out in about a month. I would guess about 3 weeks now what the truth's going to be, and I imagine we're going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Just
we're
a guess.
We're going to talk extensively about it. And I really hope this is one of those cases where it really was just rumor and speculation and things stay status quo. I mean, I know this is the way the industry is going, but I'm not sure if we're really ready to do that just yet.
So until then. The dojo is offline. Forever.
Camera's safely rolling.
Famicom Dojo.